The holiday season has begun, and many of us will be hustling and bustling through the beginning of January. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tis the season for feasting, for decking the halls, and for giving gifts. To prepare for all of these festivities, most of us will be doing a lot of shopping. Today, we're going to talk about shopping locally. We'll talk about buying food locally with Matt Russell, State Food Policy Project Coordinator at Drake University. Then we'll explore the economic impact of buying local with Iowa State University economist David Swenson. Then we'll talk about where to buy local gifts with Kat Rocketship of Market Day in Des Moines and Grace Lockwood with What a Load of Craft in Iowa City. And we would love to get your tips. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Thanksgiving is just 3 days away. Preparations, of course, are underway. And then the sprint through the holiday season really begins. Today, we're going to talk about buying local through the holiday season. We'll get some tips on buying local foods and gifts, and we'll find out what kind of impact buying local really has. We also want to hear from you throughout the hour with your tips on buying local and why it's important to you. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we're going to start the hour with food. Russell is the State Food Policy Project Coordinator for the Drake Losger Cultural Law Center. He's also been overseeing the Buy Fresh, Buy Local campaign for some time. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Charity. Good to be with you.
Thank you so much for being here today. And are you going to have local foods on your holiday table this year?
Well, my husband and I have a farm, and we do all local. So we'll be eating some of our own food, but we'll also be eating some food that we bought from some of our other friends and farmers in the area. But, yep, we'll have local foods. Pretty much everything but maybe the olive oil.
What ingredients, in your opinion, are the best to buy local in Iowa for most people who don't have a farm and are not eating their own foods this holiday season?
Well, I'd almost frame it this way, and that is that there's so much choice in the marketplace. And the great thing about local is that instead of just listening to the food companies kind of scream at you and food labels and all the kind of information that comes at the eater to try to make a decision, when you shop locally, you actually get to ask questions. So my recommendation is that you go to the grocers that are selling local and ask them, and even better, contact that farmer directly and ask them. So ask them, what's in season? What do they recommend? How do they recommend preparing it? This is a great opportunity. So instead of just listening to the screaming marketing, you actually get to ask questions and learn something and then put better food on your table. So specifically right now, seasonally, potato, the root vegetables. So we've got potatoes, carrots, onions, garlic, even beets that have been harvested and can be stored. And then we also have greens like spinach and cool season salads and things like that that people are growing in high tunnels, which are the passive solar greenhouses. And then, of course, the meats, pork, beef, chicken, and of course, turkey.
If we're planning a holiday meal that's going to include local foods, it sounds like this is something that we should have started thinking about a few weeks ago.
That's one of the differences is that if you just are using the global supply chains, food is readily available and almost anything from, around the world you can find because it's in season someplace and it can get here. But if you really want that fresh, high quality local stuff, you do need to plan a little bit more. There are some places like you could get to some of our great co-ops around the state, Oneata. Up in Decorah and New Pioneer in Iowa City and Wheatsfield, in Ames, Campbell's Nutrition, which is a store here in Des Moines, Gateway Market. There are places that are stocking local, and you can pop in there and probably get some winter squash and some potatoes and even some meats. But if you planned ahead, you probably could have ordered a turkey, maybe picked it up this week fresh, never frozen fresh, and be able to put that on the table. If you haven't done that, it might be a little hard to do at this point.
So when would you suggest that people do start planning?
Well, probably as early as September. Some people, when we've done turkeys on our farm in the past, we've even had people, you know, in July, making sure that they've got one, you know, had one of our turkeys. So you can do that. The downtown farmers market had their winter market this last Saturday, and there were actually quite a few turkeys there for sale. So we've gotten better as we've built this industry around retail agriculture and local foods. There is more choice. There is more availability. There is a higher level of convenience based on previous years, not necessarily comparable to the global supply chains, but it is getting better in terms of eaters being able to plan. You know, it's not just for the super organized. the rest of us can get involved as
right.
well.
Right. So it sounds like if you want to plan a local Thanksgiving dinner, you could either start planning in June or July or September, but at the very least Saturday before.
Yeah, like I said, if I had a couple of hours to spend running around here in Des Moines, and I'm guessing Ames would be similar, and Iowa City, and there's other places in the state where if you had a couple hours, I could probably put together a local meal today or tomorrow, go out and buy stuff and put it on the table. It's just going to be a little bit harder, and it's going to require me to be a little more creative, right? Because I may not have a turkey, so what could I do instead? You know, maybe I'll really jazz up some butternut squash and fillet it and grill it, right? So I'll have butternut squash steak as an entree. There's just a lot of creative things, and that's what, when I say talk to your farmer, talk to like the folks at Kitchen Collage of Des Moines that are really interested in helping people do better foods, better cooking, you know. That's part of the excitement of the local is talking to people in this. It's almost a network of folks who are interested in and excited about this, and just lots of people wanting to help each other, eat more exciting, better, fresher, great foods.
Of course, one of the ideas of Thanksgiving dinner is that it's a celebration of the harvest and a celebration of plenty. Iowa's harvest happened a little over a month ago, really. I mean, of course, there's a long harvest season, but we are not in that moment of harvest right now. If you were going to plan a Thanksgiving dinner and you had plenty of time, and maybe this is going to reflect what's on your table this year, what would you plan to really celebrate Iowa's harvest?
I would still really focus on what's seasonal right now. And so, and really, when we think about Thanksgiving, the traditional foods really are fall seasonal stuff. So I'd go, if I could get one, I would go with a heritage turkey, one of the older breeds.
And why does that make a difference?
Well, for one thing, it's really celebrating. You know, if you're eating turkey a lot, and we grow a lot of turkey in this state for the global supply chains, and we do a great job of that. But if you're going to eat turkey on Thanksgiving, that's a day where you can step back and pull out all the stops to really be thankful and celebrate. And so, going back to those heritage breeds, the other trick is that they're really easy to cook. You just cook them really hot and really fast, and they stay juicy, and so they're easy, and they're really great tasting. And then I would probably do something with a stewing hen to create some broth to make some stock, to make some stock and put that in the stuffing. And so I'd have a turkey, then I'd have like a chicken stuffing again, being thankful. So the stewing hen has given us her eggs for several years, and then you harvest her and continue to respect her by turning her into stock. The squashes, the potatoes, the onions, some garlic. We've got some wonderful aronia berry or jams and jellies that can substitute for cranberries. So I would use those as a condiment, as opposed to, you know, just a cranberry mix of some kind. For dessert, I would do some kind of a pie, maybe apple pie or or like a sweet potato pie. Again, something that's fall. And dairy. I would have local cheeses on the table. I would have maybe some local ice cream or whip some cream with local dairy products. And I'm probably missing something as well. Salad. You could start with salad. We've really expanded in the state. So right now there are lots of places in the state that are producing some really great cool season salads out of those high tunnels.
In the years that you've been involved in the local foods movement in Iowa, how much of a change have you seen?
I came back to the state in 1999, and I have just seen a tremendous growth. In 1999, there were a lot of pioneers who were thinking about what other kinds of agriculture can we do in the state? What other kinds of foods could we grow? What kind of opportunities could emerge around new enterprises for farmers, as well as exciting and interesting and healthy choices for eaters? There were people doing that in 1999, but they were really pioneers and kind of outliers. And I've seen that shift now to that is just in, I don't want to say absolutely everybody's consciousness, but it is in almost everybody's consciousness. There's very few people who haven't heard about local foods or haven't heard about the excitement of being able to buy locally from a farmer. We've partnered this year with Des Moines Area Religious Council, DMARC, and Move the Food and Kitchen Collage and the Richard Deming Foundation to plant a mile of produce so that we could get that into the food pantry network. So we are thinking about making this great locally grown food available to everybody in the state. Not necessarily for 100% of what people are eating, but we can now talk about growing to 15 to 20% of like for produce of Iowans eating that, and that would be a huge increase from 1999, and we're getting there. So there's been a huge change, and the momentum is continuing.
And for people who maybe haven't really given this thought and are thinking about trying something new this holiday season, why buy local? What's your pitch to someone who hasn't given this a try?
Well, I always lead with quality. You know, this isn't just about buying local because it's great for the farmer and it's great for, you know, genetic diversity, agricultural diversity in the state. Those are all good reasons. But I would lead with quality. And, you know, if what you're buying locally isn't better to you, tasting, freshness, varieties, if it's not better, you're not going to do it very often.
Matt, thank you so much.
Great to be with you, Charity. Thanks for having me on
Happy
today.
Thanksgiving.
You too.
Matt Russell is the State Food Policy Project Coordinator for the Drake Law School Agricultural Law Center. He's also been overseeing the Buy Fresh, Buy Local campaign for a number of years. In a moment, we're going to talk about the economic impact of buying local, and we do want to get your tips on buying local as well. 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and now that we are officially in the holiday season, today we're talking about shopping, and we're talking about shopping locally. Right now, joining me is Iowa State University economist David Swenson to talk about the impact that shopping local actually has. Hello, David.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome.
So there has been a lot of emphasis in the media, in advertising, in local campaigns over the last few years, encouraging people to shop local during the holiday season. Have we seen a shift in how people are spending their money?
We're seeing a shift in awareness of buy local and the importance of buying locally. We're also seeing a shift in an understanding of the scope of what it means to buy locally. It's not just shopping down at Main Street, or it's not necessarily just buying locally produced fruits and vegetables, what you were just talking about, or populating your Thanksgiving feast. It also involves an understanding within the business community that if I buy my inputs from your business and you buy your inputs from my business, all of our businesses and all of our community will do better if we can do that. So buy local is a combination of consumer awareness, business awareness, and it's also been made more possible by the sheer amount of information that's available that helps me or you learn where you have local opportunities to buy stuff. So the internet actually creates opportunities for more local buying.
And have we actually seen a shift? I mean, we've seen the awareness. Are people changing their behaviors?
It's really hard to document the magnitude of the change in terms of buying locally. When I give a lecture on this topic, I tell people that in the late 1960s, I remember signs up in my hometown that said, shop locally, it pays. For decades, local merchants have been acutely aware of the consequences of lost sales. And we know, if we just look about us, that the majority of trade transactions that are going on in the state of Iowa continue to accumulate to fewer and fewer trade centers, the regional trade centers, into the metropolitan areas, into those malls and other types of big box stores. So the overwhelming evidence suggests, no, we're going the other direction. And we also know that we're buying more and more things on internet using online sales. But over the last at least 5 years, we've seen an increased emphasis of small business promotion, buy local behavior, and more discussion. And that all leads me to conclude that, yes, indeed, we're having in selected areas more buy local behavior, more buy local awareness, and somewhat of a change in that continuous pattern of concentrating sales and fewer sellers.
Just anecdotally speaking, it seems like in a number of towns in Iowa, we've seen a resurgence of businesses on main streets. And I know that that has been a focused effort of a lot of communities. Do you think that this buy local campaign, or all of these buy local campaigns, are feeding into that? Or is this a different phenomenon?
I think it's a combination of other things that are going on. First of all, if you look about Iowa, two-thirds of the counties are contracting. Two-thirds of the communities have lost population over the last decade. Most of our non-metropolitan areas are struggling to hold on to their population bases. Most of them are still posting negatives. What's going on, I believe, in a lot of these smaller to medium-sized communities is a consolidation of sales and activity from the surrounding area. So we have about 40 regional trade centers that are serving as the primary place for shopping and service delivery. So if you look at those places, they're from 5,000 to up to, 35,000. They may have some dynamism and evidence in their downtowns or in some parts of their communities. Now, many of these places are also repurposing. Their downtowns are becoming something different than what they were before. They may have had an array of shopping and service opportunities. Some of that may have changed over time, and now they're new or different types of shops. We might see more food establishments. We might see antique shops. We might see craft stores. We're seeing a different mix of downtown activity in a lot of the smaller towns. Now, everything that I just described also is an opportunity to interact locally or to shop locally. And so some main streets may be exhibiting the consequences of a propensity to shop locally and greater opportunities.
When we go to one of these businesses, a true locally owned business that's not part of a chain, wherever it stands within the town, how much of that money that we spend at this business makes it into the local economy?
Well, there's this assumption out there that money spent locally multiplies very rapidly, but we need to just step back and think about it. Anything that I buy in a community, especially at the retail level, is likely to have been made someplace else. So that means that the dollar, however you're spending your money, $100 or a dollar, anywhere from two-thirds to four-fifths of that dollar has to immediately leave the economy to pay for the good that you bought, to pay for making it, to pay for transporting it, to pay for wholesaling it. And so you're left with anywhere from 20 to 30 cents still in your economy that gets a chance to multiply its way through. So the conclusion is that, well, we don't leave as much money in our economy as we think we do. That said, though, the multiplier effect or the richness of the linkages that occur within an area, they are all a function of our relative propensity to shop locally and to source materials locally. So if you're a community where you have a rich relationship with other businesses and that you tend to buy your inputs and you tend to buy your legal services or bookkeeping services or any other number of services from folks right there in town, you're going to have a richer social relationship. Therefore, you're going to have a richer economic relationship over time. So the multiplier effect really depends on the likelihood that when I buy something locally, after I've paid for the good that I've paid for and the shopkeeper's paid for it, how much money gets left and how do I use that money?
Now, of course, you just talked about how a lot of these local businesses are fitting into different niches than they used to fit into. We're not going to see a dime store on Main Street like we used to. We're going to see these different kinds of businesses. And of course, I can't buy everything that I want to buy in the holiday season at a craft store, at a specialty type store. So when I think about buying those other things that I want in the holiday season and I go to another kind of store in my community, for example, a local part of a big chain, how much of that money stays in the community?
Well, the part that pays the workers stays in the community, and that part is important, and that's one of the measures that we use to gauge the importance of different businesses. So we have this trade-off, and we've had this value judgment between buying from locally owned versus buying from local. When I do buy local research, I can't distinguish when I do the research the way that I do it. I can't distinguish between locally owned or locally franchised versus externally owned. Those types of things are a little bit difficult. So in my world, I stand back and say, if local is better, it doesn't matter who's providing the service locally. Locally is just simply better. Now, when you get to a community level, though, and when you start peeling back the layers and sentiments in a small community, you're going to find that there is a preference for buying local from local owners, local producers, local suppliers. The supposition, of course, is that maybe has a higher multiplier. That's researchable, and we can think about that and look at that. But the other part of that that's important is that you're continuing to support folks who are already in your community. They're entrepreneurs. They've already established a business here, and they've already expressed a preference for where they want to be. You shopping with them has intrinsically greater social value, may not have as much more economic value as people suppose, but it has intrinsic social value, and that in and of itself is important for community survival.
You're listening to Talk of Iowa. My guest is Iowa State University economist David Swenson. Right now we're talking about the economic impact of buying local. And you're welcome to join our conversation with your questions at 866-780-9100. Let me say that again, but correctly. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We'd also love your tips on buying local. We're already collecting a few of those, and we'll focus on those in the next segment of the show. Let's say, you know, as I mentioned before, I can't get everything that I want at small locally owned specialty stores. But if I'm making a decision about shopping, it sounds like you're saying if I choose to go to Target over going to Target.com, I'm still making a difference in the community.
Yes, you are. You're supporting households because those workers live in your community. There's a hierarchy if you want to think about buying locally. First of all, you try to buy from folks you like that live nearby, and I mean that, folks you like, folks that you're used to doing business with. You may have that kind of relationship irrespective of the cost, irrespective of the efficiencies. What we're talking about is a relationship. If you can't buy it locally, then the next best thing is to move up just a little bit level. Can you buy it from the neighboring community? And that's the neighboring community that supplies a lot of the jobs that people in your community you know, depend on. So you have a hierarchy. You move up a little bit more from that. Can you buy it sourced from an Iowa supplier as opposed to a non-Iowa supplier? You can think about it that way, that it's a layered type of behavior. The more money you can keep within your region based on you buying from not just your neighbors, but from folks like you in your region, whether it's a shopping region or whether it's the state of Iowa, it's all better. But the bottom line is the more shopping you do locally, whether it's locally owned or whether it's buying from a Target or a Dollar General or any other store, you're supporting households in your community, and that's the stuff of economic development.
To move back to foods, you know, we talked in the last segment, we talked a lot about local food co-ops and farmers markets. And of course, the money at a farmers market goes really directly to the producers. And you have, I think, from what I'm picking up, a greater economic impact there, right?
Yes, you do. You have way more money staying. You don't have the money leaving the economy to pay for the produce. It's got to stay here and compensate the producer. It has a higher multiplier effect. It has a much rich set of linkages to the regional economy because those local producers are depending on local suppliers for their input. So everything that you do to maintain their viability has a multiplier effect that works its way back into your economy. It feeds back into your economy in a very beneficial way. The problem with local foods, and I say this in a sort of tongue-in-cheek, is that we're so darned productive. We can grow an incredible amount of produce, fresh fruits and vegetables, on just a little bit of land. So it affords opportunities for farm diversification and creating a different way to interact with regional consumers, but it doesn't take very much land and very many producers to satisfy most of the regional demand, especially on a seasonal basis. So we know that there are limits to what we can do, and that productivity really depends on access to urban markets.
So Let's move up the food chain a little bit, so to speak. You know, most of us can't buy everything that we need in the grocery department at the farmers market. So we turn to grocery stores. We have two Iowa-owned grocery store chains in the state, and of course we have many other grocery stores that are part of national chains. Does it make a difference to shop at an Iowa chain as opposed to shopping at a national chain?
Yes, it does, a little bit, but yes, it does. The two that you described. We also, though, have many IGAs, Independent Grocery Association, and other kinds of franchisees in the state of Iowa. Yes, that all matters. Now we're moving over to the food side, though. In general, there's probably not a tremendous amount of difference between buying from an Iowa chain versus a non-Iowa chain when you look at the vast majority of what we buy, and, you know, canned goods and boxed goods and all of those manufactured goods. That really doesn't have any kind of impact. What really matters, where you really do get a bigger bang for your buck when you do grocery shopping, and it has nothing to do with whether it's one chain or another, it is the degree to which those chains are willing to support regional agricultural production and incorporate locally grown, locally sourced items into their menu of offerings.
How about restaurants? When you're looking for a restaurant.
You bet. That matters too. Again, there's a limit to how much the restaurant is going to source locally, but there are great opportunities for restaurants to source a relatively hefty supply of what they're producing, whether it's meat products or fresh fruits and vegetables or other types of products. There are great opportunities. And many restaurants, from the way I understand it, they tend to have seasonal variations, just like, you know, anything else. When stuff is in season, when it's really desirable to eat it, they try to capitalize on that. And yes, the more the restaurants in your region that are using locally sourced inputs, the better the multiplier, the better it is for those producers.
So what I'm taking away from what we've talked about is, although you can have a different amount of impact at different stores, it sounds to me like if you want to make a difference in your community, you need to give up the one-click shopping.
Well, you have to be willing to to alter your behaviors quite a bit. And you know, we value a lot of things. We value productivity and efficiency and ease and charity. We value our time. And so how do we budget our time? Well, if part of our time means that we use that time to seek alternatives, to include local foods, then it really does mean not just, you know, stepping back from clicking. It also means changing the way we interact with our purchases and with our suppliers.
With all that people have been doing to create local markets and to encourage people to shop locally, you said we can't measure the impact that much, but what's your gut feeling? Is there a real difference being made in Iowa?
Yeah, there is a real difference being made. If we think about all kinds of movements over time, you get ideas. Ideas begin to solidify. The ideas begin to have different actors that you and I and other people begin to identify and attach to that movement. And over a period of time, we start to realize very, very slowly different opportunities that represent what that movement is. And in Buy Local, it's not just going to the farmers market. The vast majority of consumers can't even tell you where the farmers markets are. What it is, though, is an awareness that if I see a choice between a locally sourced apple or locally sourced commodity of one form or another versus one that's not, that over time I opt for the locally sourced whenever I can. That's a change that's obviously been happening just because of the popularity of the movement in the last few years.
Dave, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
David Swenson is an associate scientist with the Iowa State University Department of Economics. We're talking about buying local today, and in a moment we're going to talk about some of the places you can go if you're shopping local for gifts, and we'd love to hear your suggestions as well. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're talking about buying local during the holiday season, and now we're going to focus on some of the fun and unusual ways you can buy local this holiday season, and we want your tips as well. If there's a favorite place to shop when you're filling out your gift list, let us know. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.com. We're already getting some tips. This is from Joe in Boone. He said, you can join the Iowa Food Co-op and buy from 100 local producers online. We have a number of pickup locations around Des Moines. You just Google Iowa Food Co-op and start shopping. So we'd love to hear your tips as well. Again, 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And with me now is Grace Lockwood. She is co-founder and organizer of What a Load of Craft in Iowa City. Hello, Grace.
Hi.
And also joining me is Kat Rocketship, who's director of Market Day in Des Moines. Hi, Kat.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about your events because these are some really fun ways for people to shop. And Grace, I'll let you start. What is What a Load of Craft?
Well, What a Load of Craft is a handmade craft fair that we put on yearly in Iowa City. We started it in 2006, and it was very tiny. And now it's grown to... we have about 50-plus regional and local vendors, and it's at the Johnson County Fairgrounds, and it's awesome. We really like it. It's fun. It's just grown a lot, and it's just a really cool place to come to see some really amazing handmade stuff and shop local.
All right, and that's coming up on Saturday, December 8th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. You just mentioned the Johnson County Fairgrounds. What kind of stuff do you find there?
Well, we have everything from handmade musical instruments. We have apparel, jewelry, kids' toys, bags and backpacks, pet items, candy. Pretty much anything that can be handmade, we try to represent there. About half our vendors are from Iowa City, and then the rest are from Iowa or around the Midwest.
And how did this all start? What kinds of stuff did you do the first year?
Well, so in the spring of 2006, my friend Susan Junis and I, we started getting into the alternative craft movement and making a lot of stuff. And at that time, there wasn't a venue for us to sell the things that we're making. And a lot of our friends were into the same kind of crafting scene. So we decided to try a craft fair, try doing our own craft fair, because we've heard of, I think at the time it was Renegade in Chicago was the big one we'd heard about, which at that time wasn't so big. But so we actually had, I think we had about 6 vendors in the Hall Mall in Iowa City. And then we also had a lot of local bands play and some local food there. And it was really tiny, but it was received so well. I mean, it was just packed the whole day. And that was with only 6 vendors 6 years ago. So we're very encouraged to just keep doing it every year. And every year it's grown hugely. So it's really exciting to have such support.
Are you finding that more and more vendors are seeking you out?
Yes, absolutely. Which is awesome because we have so many more choices and we can have so much more variety. But it's also hard because we have to turn down way more people than we can accept, which is really, I think that's the hardest part. But yeah, at this point, when we first started, we were seeking people out, and now we kind of hardly have to do that, which is so exciting. It's awesome.
So last year, you had about 3,000 shoppers at
this
event?
Yes, and that blew us away. That was the first year we actually counted, and it was way more than we thought, but it's just wonderful, just wonderful.
So do you think people are coming just from in Johnson County, or are people traveling from all over the place?
Initially, it was definitely from just Johnson County, especially the vendors, too. And now we do have people coming from 2 or 3 hours away to shop. And then we have vendors as far away as Kansas City this year, which this is the first year I feel comfortable saying, yes, it will be worth your while to make a drive like that. So, yeah, we're definitely, I feel like we're expanding and making more of an impact on the Midwest in the craft fair scene and not just in Iowa City.
Well, and I know that when you started, this was kind of like an alternative type craft fair. You call it the Iowa's premier punk rock craft fair. So are you still seeking out or attracting more alternative kinds of things, or has it become a more mainstream event?
Just having more vendors has made a lot of the products that are being sold be a little more mainstream, but we definitely prefer the strange and unusual. And one reason, too, that we call it the punk rock craft fair is because we've always had live local music at it. And it started off at a bar and was very loud. And that's something we've had to tone down over the years. But, yeah, we'd like to – the stranger, the better. But we also know that shoppers like variety, so – there'll be something for everybody, for sure.
Is it a family-friendly event?
Yes, it is.
All right.
And
well,
I couldn't have said that at the beginning. Now it is. It definitely is now, 100%.
Well, I don't think a lot of people are bringing families to the Hall Mall in Iowa
City.
So let's talk about Market Day, Kat. Tell me what that is.
Market Day is similar to What a Load of Craft. We definitely looked around and admired What a Load of Craft as we got started. Our first market was in 2009, so we're finishing up our 4th year now. And we actually run all year long. So, well, not all year, but we run starting in May and then we run through November once each month. Our goal is to get people to get really used to shopping locally, make it a habit, come down and see us each month when they come down to the farmers market or just to get out and make it a Saturday event. And then also to make buying handmade goods sort of a ritual, something that they're used to doing. It's something that's sometimes outside of people's comfort zone, I think, now to talk to a vendor, to ask them questions about what they make and things like that, because we're so used to going to Walmart, going to Target, picking up exactly what we need, and sometimes even leaving the self-checkout without even talking to anybody. So for us, it was really a goal to help facilitate those relationships that happen when you are buying from people you know and from people who live where you live. And so this week we've got our 4th annual Black Friday sale on Friday, and that's always our biggest market of the year. We have a huge following for it. And as you can imagine, our goal is even more than ever to get people to keep their dollars in Des Moines, keep them not just in the local Target, not just in the local Walmart, but really going directly to the pockets of small business owners. be able to share really unique gifts with their friends too, things that not anybody else is going to have.
How many vendors will you have?
This year we've got 55 vendors, and that's a pretty good little number. We've got two full rooms at the Kirkwood in downtown Des Moines.
And this is something, as you mentioned, you have a regular season. Mm-hmm. How do vendors get involved in Market Day?
Vendors start applying at the beginning of the season, so in April. And we, like What a Load of Craft, we jury our vendors to make sure that we get a good variety, make sure that we've got goods that are well made. And so they can start applying at the beginning of April, but it's a rolling deadline, so we pick up people all year long. Sometimes people who have really just recently started making something and making it really well, you know, only a month or two before, will be joining us towards the end of the season, which is really fun too. Being able to add people on all season long ensures that each of our seven markets is different. We have a new mix of vendors every time.
We're talking about buying local. We're talking about a couple of different events that are happening very soon in Iowa during the holiday season. I'm talking with Kat Rocketship. She's director of Market Day in Des Moines, and Grace Lockwood, who is co-founder and organizer of What a Load of Craft in Iowa City. And we want your tips as well. Where will you be shopping local during this holiday season? Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we are getting some tips already from people. Elizabeth on Twitter says that I heard that Dirt Farmer Larry is going to have a mini pop-up market at the cheese shop in Des Moines on Wednesday with beets, carrots, broccoli, and spinach. So if you're a last-minute food shopper, that might be a great place to go. This is an email from Jean. She says, Isabel Bloom is a local company making concrete sculpture for the home and garden, now 100% locally made and owned, made in Davenport with stores in Moline, Des Moines, and Davenport. Also, this is from Jessica on Facebook. She says Plaid Peacock is a shop in Waterloo where you can buy locally made art, gifts, and all kinds of fun things. It's across from the River Loop Public Market Co-op where you can buy locally grown produce, etc. Share your tips with us again, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Kat, once a vendor applies to Market Day and gets accepted, do they come every time you have an event, or can they just come one time? How does that work?
They can really pick and choose. We've got, I would say, any given event, we've probably got 3/4 returning vendors, but not necessarily the same vendors as the month before. And then 1/4 of those are probably brand new vendors. Some of our vendors do all 7 shows. Some of them just do 1. And it's really a pretty good range in there, which is fun because, like I said, then we get a pretty big variety. Over a season, we have over 100 vendors coming in every month, or coming in total. So there's a lot of different stuff to find.
What do you think is different about the shopping experience for the shopper? I mean, obviously, this is a great opportunity for a vendor because they are interacting with their consumer directly instead of going through a store. But what's different about it for the shopper?
I think it's really fun. I sit up at the info desk in months where I don't have a booth, and I just kind of watch people. And we really are an event where people come and hang out and stand around in big groups and talk and sort of take their time and have a really leisurely morning of walking around, looking at vendors, buying a few things. But then they also see a lot of their friends there or see a dog they want to pet or meet a vendor and talk to them for a while. And that's what I really enjoy about putting it on, is watching people come down and have fun shopping. As opposed to so often when I go out in public and especially shopping, I just see like zombie faces. So I think that's my favorite part of it. And it's definitely a very different aspect of Market Day.
Although Black Friday is probably dog free,
I would guess. No, we've got a dog.
You do?
We do. Sometimes, yeah, we have dogs coming in from the farmer's market. But we've actually got a vendor called Dog in a Fez. And she makes these incredible dog hats, all different kinds. They're so beautifully made. She's a costume designer. And she has this adorable little dog named Fuku, and Fuku's going to be there on Friday. And Fuku is in a marvelous model of these hats. So, no, we are not – we will have dogs.
All right. Wonderful. I know those are not on my dog's holiday shopping list, unfortunately. But, Grace, what do you think the shopper gets out of the experience that they don't get out of going to the mall?
Well, absolutely. Number one, being able to talk to the person who actually made the item that they're selling, just to know exactly how they made it and why they made it and how they felt when they were making it, and also to give feedback to them as well. I think just to, you know, be able to say, oh, I bought this from you last year and I've really enjoyed it. So, like, for the vendor, it's awesome, too, to be able to actually talk to the customers. Yeah, it's just a whole lot of fun, and you see things you've never seen before. I do think you learn a lot about how things are made as well. And at What a Load of Craft, too, we try to have a lot of other activities going on, like live music, or this year we have a record swap, just things to keep people there, just mingling. Like Kat was saying, it's so fun to see people just mingle and ooh and ah and scream even when they see something they've never seen before. Yeah, it's wonderful to see those interactions between the person who actually made the item and the person who's excited to get it or give it as a gift.
So I'm going to put you on the spot now, Grace. What is one of your favorite finds at What a Load of Craft?
Oh, my gosh. I think – oh, that is such a hard question. This year, I think the vendor I'm most excited about is we have a vendor called Wooden Guitars, and he actually makes guitars from scratch, which I find mind-blowing. I'm a sewer, so – I mean, that's just completely in a whole different league. So I'm most excited to take a look at his stuff in person, and I'm most impressed with his stuff. I think as far as an item that I've come across and bought at What a Load of Craft, oh, my gosh, there is a woman named Laura Newsome who has a company called Handmade Pretties, and she's from Des Moines. I know she does Market Day as well, and she makes things out of recycled sweaters, like giant dice and skirts and these giant balls, and they're just so cute and adorable and creative and sweet. We have so many great vendors that I just love. I love all of them. I really do.
So, Kat, now I'll do it to you. What's one of your favorite finds?
Oh, that is a really hard question. I identify with Grace. Dog and a Fez is definitely one of them, even though I don't have dogs. I'm always partial to art, I think, being a fine artist. So printmakers, painters like Van Holmgren brings a lot of his paintings. He's a Des Moines artist, Iowa artist. And they're really lovely, detailed applications of stencils with bright colors. And sometimes like Des Moines iconography, I would say, but also lots of skulls and sea monsters and mermaids and things like that. So that's probably... Van is definitely up there among my favorites.
I know that this is an opportunity for these vendors to keep more of their profits as they sell this way. I feel kind of guilty whenever I walk past one of these these vendors and I don't buy. Do they talk ever about feeling really vulnerable? Because, of course, they're seeing everybody's responses. Grace?
Absolutely. I'm a crafter, and so I probably do, maybe 6 regional craft fairs a year, and so I can definitely relate with people being very critical and not thinking that you're hearing, maybe standing right next to you and saying, oh, my God, what is that? Or I could make that. I'm not going to buy that. I could make that. Or trying to haggle on prices, yeah. That's a really tough one to deal
but
with.
But mostly it's a positive.
Mostly it is, yeah.
And you get to see someone fall in love with your
absolutely.
Stuff. Absolutely. That's got to be very special. Well, Grace Lockwood, thank you very much for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Grace Lockwood is co-founder and organizer of What a Load of Craft in Iowa City, which is coming up on December 8th at the Johnson County Fairgrounds. And Kat Rocketship, thank you.
Thank you.
Kat Rocketship is director of Market Day in Des Moines. Their Black Friday event is coming up, of course, Friday of this week. Thank you very much to everybody who shared their thoughts and tips for shopping local. Here's one more to go out on from Paige. A lot of people who need to bring sweets to the office may want to head to their local bakery instead of going to the big grocery store. One more tip. This is Talk of Iowa.